From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made last month when the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission released a report of their investigation into multiple complaints against Jack Moore, the supervisor of the town of Henrietta. Moore has held office since 2014. He is running for re-election next month. The EEOC concluded that multiple complaints against Moore have merit, and the complaints include allegations that Moore made racist, sexist, and homophobic remarks. I am going to read some of the EEOC's findings, including these specific allegations, in a moment. But before we get started, we want to establish several points. Supervisor Moore has denied these allegations. He says they're from disgruntled former employees. His supporters say this is politically timed. We contacted Supervisor Moore, who explained that his attorney has advised him not to conduct any interviews on this subject. His attorney points out that the EEOC findings do not constitute a final judgment, and they look forward to defending Jack Moore if they need to. They're going to stick with a statement, and the supervisor is not going to be doing a conversation on this program. Now, the supervisor has considerable support from some people in Henrietta, town Republicans, and from a number of organizations that have condemned the EEOC findings. But Supervisor Moore has also made a history of racially based remarks. In 2015, he was caught on tape making racist comments about people from the city of Rochester. He apologized and agreed to undergo sensitivity training, but he also said he is not a racist. Knowing that Supervisor Moore decided not to come on the show, we decided against inviting his opponent in next month's election. This is not meant to be a political discussion, per se. But we did invite people who have protested the supervisor's alleged comments. We also reached out to several people who have offered public support of Supervisor Moore, and you will hear from at least one of them later this hour. Again, Supervisor Moore is welcome to come on this program any day that's convenient. We hope that will happen. More broadly speaking, we want to explore what the EEOC is and is not, and what it is designed to do in matters like these. As you will hear, there are significant barriers to having complaints go forward. Let me say hello to my guests in studio. With us is Reverend Reuben Goff. He is a Henrietta Town resident. He is a retired pastor who informed me strongly before the program began that he is not a retired preacher, just a retired pastor. Yes, sir?
That's right.
Well, nice to have you. Thank you for being here, Reverend.
Good to be here.
Also here is Iman Abed. She is a Henrietta Town resident. Iman, welcome to you.
Thank you, Evan.
Also here is Larry Knox. He's an organizer with SEIU. He works on political and community engagement. Larry, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Evan.
And on the line with us is Justin Cordello. He is principal attorney with the Cordello Law Firm, which focuses on employment law. Justin, thank you for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
Let me just start with our guests in studio real briefly, and then what I want Justin to do is kind of help us understand what EEOC's role here is and how this kind of all works. But Reverend Goff, I will start with you. The supervisor says there's an election coming up, and there are some disgruntled former employees, but he said 2 years ago, while he apologized for past remarks, he's not a racist. This time he says the allegations are untrue. So why do they bother you?
Well, the allegations are the same allegation that were made 2 years ago. You're saying the same thing now. So in your heart, you have this thing against the statements that you make, and you're making the statements, the same statements over and over again. And I said to him at the meeting, I said, look, I come to a conclusion that you've been looking at Trump too much. You've been listening to Trump, because Trump used these same type of tactics on people in America and other countries. You are the town supervisor. You don't come off with things like this. You don't have, I asked the question in the meeting, how many black people do you have employed in the town of Henrietta? Nobody answered. I asked the question again. Nobody answered again. I said, I'm speaking to the board. Nobody answered. Okay? Now you're talking about the women. I just can't condone men putting women down and women putting men down. You got to love one another. And the sad part about it is, we say, God bless the United States of America. How can we ask God to bless us when we're doing things that we're not, and saying things that we shouldn't say, and things we shouldn't do?
Well, let me say that the Reverend is talking about a number of comments. I'll go ahead and read now some of the findings from the EEOC, and our colleagues at the Democrat and Chronicle also did a nice job of cataloging these, so a hat tip to them. Here are some of the findings from the EEOC. An EEOC determination dated September 26th in response to a complaint said, quote, witness testimony verified that the supervisor made the comment, quote, this desk is heavier than 10 dead blank. And by blank, it's the N-word. 10 dead blank while moving the complainant's desk. The determination also stated that witness testimony shows that Supervisor Moore engaged in inappropriate sexually charged name-calling when he distinguished two women as, quote, Big Marie and Little Marie, based on their breast size. A 2014 discrimination charge stated that the supervisor called an employee a slacker, a baby, a woman, and it's a man making the complaint, a slacker, a baby, a woman, and a fat tortoise. And the complainant filed again in October of 2015, and the EEOC determined that the commission says there is a reasonable cause to believe that the respondent has discriminated, that's Jack Moore, has discriminated against the complainant because of his disability in violation of the ADA. In 2017, another EEOC investigation concerning that same employee, a man, revealed that Supervisor Moore revealed confidential medical information about at least former employee to an individual who had no cause to be privy to that information. A woman filed a complaint with the EEOC in 2014 alleging that the supervisor said, quote, tell me she doesn't just look like a guy, as well as commenting to a coworker, maybe you should take her shopping. She could use some help. To the town supervisor provided that a male employee was assigned to the town hall building, according to the commission, quote, because being a man, he was able to do certain things that a woman couldn't do, such as use a ladder. That's correct. And finally, on September 26th, the investigation from the EEOC found that one of the complainants was subjected to continued harassment because of her gender and gender stereotyping and was also subject to unequal terms, conditions, and privileges of employment afforded to other employees. End quote. Iman Abid, when you see this list here, again, the supervisor is saying this is all coming out before an election. And this time, this is not 2 years ago. He doesn't say, yes, I'm sorry, I'll do sensitivity training. He says, people have it wrong here, and this is unfair. He's being railroaded. As a resident of the town of Henrietta, what do you say to that?
He's denying some of the most racist and xenophobic remarks.
He is.
Some of
he
the most transphobic
this.
Remarks. And if you can't come in and at least apologize about the remarks that you made, in any way doesn't
qualify. He's saying he didn't make them.
I think that's the issue is what... We're not just asking for an apology. Actually, I think the majority of residents are asking for him to step down and not run for re-election. But I think there's nothing that we can do as far as right now is how far we are in the election. I think it's incredibly disturbing and disgusting that he continues to deny the remarks. And it's not just one or two, but there are various types of remarks. They're not just racist remarks or xenophobic. They're transphobic. They're misogynistic. They're terrible, terrible remarks. And it's just amazing to me that with the amount of diversity within the town itself, I mean, I'm a lifelong resident, so I've seen it diversify. I've seen the number of people that are coming in from either the city or other suburbs, and people love it. People love the place because of the amount of diversity. But then when you have someone who's calling themselves a public servant, that's no public servant in any respect. And I don't have any sort of respect for someone who comes in and not only denies remarks like that, but continues to make them. If you're in denial of the remarks that you're made and you have all these complaints against you, formal complaints against you, and you still deny, why do I believe that you're going to make any sort of change? And if anything, you have constituents who are telling you what you've said is wrong, whether it's true or not, they're wrong. Why can't you come out and condemn those remarks and say to yourself that you are here to represent this diverse town? Don't run for the town of Henrietta if that's the type of person that you want to be.
Yeah, Evan, I would just say he was caught on tape saying, you know, the comments from, there was tape of him talking about the city cousins comment.
2 years ago.
And you know, kind of similar to when President Trump was caught on tape, the Access Hollywood tape about the grabbing. I mean, it's when you're, you know, this isn't a 22-year-old, mistaken youth, error or statement that you're making. Now, he's a man, I'm guessing, in his 60s. You know, he's not going to change. He's been who he is. And when there's a lot of allegations of a certain sort, and you're caught on tape saying allegations, now you're caught on tape saying those kind of things, it's a lot more believable when similar allegations are made about you.
Okay, so
those same
in other words, what Larry's saying is the remarks 2 years ago were caught on tape. He acknowledged them. In this case, there's not tape that we know of, and he is not acknowledging them. He's denying them, but you're saying it's consistent with what you've seen in the past. Okay,
right.
I understand that, but let me also say, Larry, that 2 years ago when he admitted to making racist comments, he won re-election easily. Henrietta voters were not collectively bothered by that particular case, not enough to change that election result. And in this newest wave of allegations, he has a good number of people supporting him publicly. Some examples, town employee Patrick Herman, president of the Roadrunners Association Union.
Right.
He said union employees took a vote and they plan to support Moore in the upcoming election. He told the Democrat and Chronicle, quote, Jack Moore is not a bad person at all, and that after asking members to pick whom they would want to endorse, 82% told him to endorse Jack Moore. Jack Driscoll, a Republican who earlier served on the Henrietta Town Board and in the county legislature, said there is a crusade of guilt against Moore in the town, and he says an accusation is not a guilty verdict here, Larry.
Well, you know, as a union member, and I mean, I'm 99.9% sure that, you know, our local labor council and the CWA, which represents the workers, the countywide union feel a lot differently than how Patrick felt. And, you know, the vote of the workers, I'm hoping it wasn't seven workers voting and that it was majority of them voting. So you can say that 82% feel that way. But, you know, as a union member and as a union head, you're supposed to represent your workers. And the fact that Patrick, you know, and I'm not a member of that union, I don't know what goes on internally, but I just find it surprising. And many union members, you know, Republican, Democrat, no matter where else, I think are quite surprised to hear a union head taking the stance and the idea that I'm going to support the supervisor over my fellow workers that complain. And Jack Driscoll, it's funny, I was watching the TV coverage of that, and his comment about what he said right before that, which a couple of stations did cover, he said, and this is a supporter of Jack Moore, said, he's not politically correct and he's made some errors. And I think that was kind of, you know, he wasn't admitting that what Jack had said, but it's those kind of code words of, well, you're not being politically correct. No, that's not being politically correct. That's being racist, misogynistic. And he's made some errors. This isn't like a 19-year-old or 16-year-old that doesn't know. There is no excuses for somebody, you know, of this experience making that. And the fact that the privilege he feels or others feel that they can excuse that by saying he's not being politically correct or he's made some errors and then call it a witch hunt, I think that's not acceptable. And hopefully, you know, Henrietta residents would understand that that's not acceptable. It's not even about policy. You know, there's other people that could run that town of any party as well as Jack, minus all the racism and bigotry and misogynism.
All right, so let me bring in Justin Cordello, who is principal attorney with the Cordello Law Firm. They focus on employment law. And Justin is not on the program to sort of adjudicate this particular set of allegations, but to help us understand them in context here. So, Justin, let me start just by asking you, you know, what the EEOC is and is not here. My understanding is there are a lot of complaints that go to the EEOC, and most don't really go anywhere. Is that correct?
I think that is correct. The EEOC is located in Buffalo, New York, and it's the, you know, federal agency that's tasked with prosecuting and interpreting the anti-discrimination laws, the federal anti-discrimination laws. So individuals who feel as though they've suffered some form of discrimination in the workplace, be it race-based, gender, sexually based, they can go to the EEOC and file a complaint. It's a pretty straightforward complaint process. They just need to list out with some detail what they experience that they believe gave rise to a violation of the anti-discrimination laws. And then at that point, the EEOC starts their investigation process and will notify the employer of the fact that they've had a complaint filed against them, and the EEOC then can also start trying to resolve it short of investigation as well if there's some kind of conciliation process they have that they sometimes use as well. But unfortunately, you know, a lot of bad things happen to good people in the workplace, and they don't always necessarily have the evidence that's necessary to meet their burden to establish probable cause.
And so, Justin, in this case, you know, as Larry Knox has said, you know, 2 years ago there was audio tape. This time around, my understanding is none of the allegations that there were findings about from the EEOC included actual audio tape. So their investigation would perhaps include what?
Generally, what the EEOC will do is they'll ask the employer to submit a position statement, and the employer typically will hire an attorney who will then represent them in the process, and the employer will come forward with usually a legitimate, non-discriminatory business reason for the conduct that they that took place. So I heard you go through the catalog of allegations that were made, but I wasn't clear what the kind of adverse action, the employment action that took place, if folks were terminated, if they were suspended, if they didn't get a promotion, for instance. The town, in this case, would then have to come forward with some objective rationale, non-discriminatory, for the actions that they took. And then at that point, the employee or the complainant would have an opportunity to submit a rebuttal, where they would be able to explain to the EEOC that the purported legitimate, non-discriminatory reasons for the adverse employment action really aren't legitimate, but they're actually a pretext to some type of discrimination.
Okay, so this is an important distinction here because, you know, some may say, well, an employer is not politically correct. Others may say that employer is saying things pretty routinely that are racist, homophobic, misogynistic, all kinds of things. But, Justin, if there is not a complaint that goes with it that says that employer also denied a promotion or fired someone or denied pay. In other words, if they're just saying things that make people uncomfortable or sound discriminatory, but there aren't employment actions coupled to it, does that change the consideration for the EEOC or the complaint process?
I think it does. I mean, I think, you know, the employee still can go forward with a complaint, for instance, for a hostile work environment. Yeah. But typically, in my practice, what I see is employees who've suffered some type of adverse employment action, you know, were terminated, and that's why they're subjecting themselves and going through, you know, the EEOC complaint process. So I think the answer is yes. Usually you're going to see some type of adverse employment action.
Okay, but there could also just be a determination of a hostile work environment. And so before we let Justin go, just a couple more questions then. You know, why not staff the EEOC stronger then? If you say there are all these complaints coming in here, it sounds like an organization that could, frankly, use a little bit more help to investigate these things.
I agree. You know, unfortunately, you know, like a lot of government agencies, they're, you know, underfunded, understaffed, and overworked. And from what I see in helping employees on a daily basis with various, you know, workplace issues, a lot of times there's a delay in getting adjudication through the EEOC process. The nice thing, though, is employees do have a right after 180 days to request a right to sue letter, where at that point the EEOC will issue them the ability, a letter giving them the ability to file in federal court. And that's sometimes a preferred way to get the employer's attention and to really move the case along.
Okay, and here's the statement from Patrick Nalen Esquire, the attorney for the town of Henrietta, regarding what's going on with the EEOC and Jack Moore. Quote, "The town long ago denied the validity of any of these charges. Indeed, some of these claims are literally several years old. The EEOC determinations did not determine that discrimination took place. The determination means that the claims may go to the next phase, potentially to a lawsuit. In fact, we do not even know at this time if they will go to suit. If they do, the town and the town supervisor look forward to defending the claims before a neutral tribunal and establishing that no unlawful discrimination took place." End quote. Does that make sense to you? What the attorney is saying is that, you know, this isn't a final ruling on this. Is that right, Justin?
No, it's definitely not a final ruling, but I would think it's a feather in the employee's cap that the EEOC thought enough of the allegations and confirmed the allegations in the investigation process to issue a probable cause determination. The EEOC is definitely not in the business of issuing probable cause determinations on every single case. You know, Evan, in my experience, most cases don't get a probable cause determination. Like I was saying before, a lot of bad things happen to good people at work, but they just don't have the evidence. Here we have a situation where, you know, we have an audio tape. And then on top of that audio tape, you know, we have several different employees with witness statements confirming, you know, what, you know, based on the Democrat and Chronicle reporting that you stated, are pretty egregious violations of the anti-discrimination laws.
All right, and again, the audio tape going back in the previous case that we talked about, but there is audio in the past of the supervisor making remarks that I think, as the Reverend said earlier, sort of line up with the current allegations. Two more quick questions then. Justin, in this case, we hear Henrietta residents saying they're concerned that this is about to get really expensive for the town if it hasn't already. I hate to ask a lawyer if you guys can be expensive, but is that an accurate concern for Henrietta residents to have?
No, I think it is. I believe Mr. Nalen is a private attorney, so it's not a town attorney that they're using. So whenever you bring in a private attorney and you're looking at several different claims, all with the potential to become federal lawsuits, and everything involved with a federal lawsuit, including the discovery process, depositions, document discovery, depositions of key witnesses, yes, it can be very expensive for the town. So I think that would be a real concern for the residents.
The supervisor has said, you know, these are disgruntled former employees, and some of his supporters have said, look at the timing. This is just political. Is the EEOC historically a political and a politically motivated organization, Justin?
You know, I can't really speak to the history of the EEOC in terms of it being politically involved, but I can tell you in my experience, I have not witnessed the EEOC being politically motivated. You know, there's deadlines that these cases have to follow. For instance, an employee has to come forward within 300 days of experiencing the discriminatory act to file the complaint. And then, as I spoke before, there's the 180-day timeline within which they need to complete the investigation to issue that right to sue letter. So the fact that the probable cause determination is coming out now on the eve of the election, from my perspective, is just happenstance, and I can't see there being any real political motive there.
Okay, and finally, when it comes to future cases, because we're talking about Jack Moore and Henrietta, but we're also talking about workplace environments, and people are hearing you say that, you know, the EEOC is overworked, maybe a little understaffed, that most claims, even possibly valid claims, don't go anywhere. It's hard to establish evidence. Are there other avenues for people to pursue when it comes to discrimination that they ought to know about besides EEOC, Justin?
Well, the law requires that you file with the EEOC or the New York State Division of Human Rights within 300 days. So there's no way to short circuit that. That being said, the New York State Division of Human Rights has an office here in Rochester. Julia Day is a regional director, and in my experience, I found them to be very competent and do an excellent job in their investigations of the cases. So that's an alternative. With the town of Henrietta, given that it's a municipality, though, these folks, these town employees, had to file with the EEOC given sovereign immunity and issues like that would prevent them from going forward with the State Division of Human Rights. But I would always recommend folks to, you know, consult with an attorney to, you know, get a sense of what all their rights are in terms of going forward. But that 300-day statute of limitations is crucial for it to be filed with the State Division of Human Rights and or the EEOC.
All right. Very good advice, broadly speaking there. Justin Cordello, principal attorney with the Cordello Law Firm, which focuses on employment law. Thanks for the time, Justin. Appreciate the perspective.
Thanks, Evan.
All right, and so you just heard from Justin an important point here. Most EEOC complaints do not go forward. So this is not a final ruling, per se, against Jack Moore, but the fact this attorney is saying, just from an outsider's perspective, the fact that we've come this far, that they've released these findings already and found that there's merit, is unusual. That's a pretty high bar to clear, in other words, and we are there. So, you know, we'll weigh in with some of your thoughts as we go throughout the hour. I want to make it clear again. We've invited Jack Moore to come on this program, and we understand that he's taking the advice of his attorney, and that's Patrick Nalen, who writes to us, quote, because of the threat of litigation, as per standard policy and procedure, I have advised the town supervisor and town board to refrain from any further comment with respect to this matter, end quote. That's from Patrick Nalen, and the supervisor tells me he is following that legal advice. I want to take our first phone call. It's from Ann in Pittsford weighing in. Go ahead, Ann.
Hi, thank you so much for this topic.
Sure.
I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know whether or not this case in Henrietta will be found valid by the EEOC, but I think what it does is, it, for me, it shines a light on the larger topic of the importance and value of elected leaders who represent a diversity of perspectives. And what it means is, when we go to the voting booth for these local elections, we need to think about supporting candidates who represent a variety of perspectives, people of different genders, abilities, economic backgrounds, racial backgrounds, religious backgrounds. You know, as a woman, these kind of hostile workplaces, to hear about this, it's unacceptable in any setting, but especially it's troubling when you think about, we're talking about elected leaders here. I know in Pittsburgh, we have some great candidates running for political office, like Kevin Beckford and Stephanie Townsend and Howard Mifucci, who represent kind of other perspectives that I know in our town necessarily haven't been perspective. And I think this election year, for these local elections happening in November, it's going to be really interesting to see how these races in Pittsburgh and Henrietta turn out.
And thanks for the phone call. And that lines up with what Reverend Reuben Goff said earlier this hour, which is, you know, his feeling is, looking at the town, you said, you know, where are the employees of color? You know, you feel like that we don't, whether or not you're concerned or believe these allegations that the EEOC findings include against Jack Moore and Henrietta, the question is, where's the representation of diversity, right, in government?
And I want to know, who made the final ruling on these allegations? Who make the final, who said he's wrong and who said he's right?
Well, the EEOC, when they investigate, they decided to conclude that there is merit to the allegations, which just means it opens the door for lawsuits. And what Patrick Nalen with the town of Henrietta, the town attorney, is saying is they're ready for them, that if the lawsuits come, they're going to defend the town supervisor because they don't think these allegations are fair. But so far, EEOC says, green light, these can go forward. We see merit to these allegations.
Well, I think the EEOC, I think you guys are correct. And the thing that gets me is that you say that he's got 80% of the people are voting for him, going to vote for him. That's, I can't understand that.
That's from one union, right? Right, Larry?
That's just within union vote that took place.
And I believe when he won re-election last time, he was in the mid-50s, something like that. So, I mean, he won pretty comfortably 2 years ago. He has been that's a pretty good margin. He's a pretty popular town supervisor. We'll see next month. But yes, he did not have any trouble 2 years ago.
But he said, 1,700 jobs came in during his term.
Right.
1,700 jobs. Okay. We're talking about discriminations and other things. Well, in 1,700 jobs, why can't you tell me how many blacks you got working in the town? 1,700 jobs. You're making these allegations, remarks pertaining to women, and you're still getting away with it. But you still got 80% of the people say they're going to vote for him.
Within one union. But I guess, kind of what the caller was saying, like going back to how the town is run, I mean, there's a mainly Republican supervisors all across the county, and there's a lot of different policy differences between different candidates. But this hasn't been an issue in any other towns. I mean, I think there's other Republicans, Democrats, whoever else, who could run a town or attempt to run a town with all this racist bigotry allegations. This is not normal. And this may seem like the new normal now with our president, but I think a bigger concern, I know the former Republican Party chair of the town has spoken out against Jack Moore publicly, but I think it's one of those things where there's plenty of, you know, independents, blanks, Republicans in the town who maybe support how Jack has run the town policy-wise, but you would think personally and, when it comes to how you treat a person, would have issues with that and say, well, let me get another person in that office who I agree with his policies on how the town is run, but all this other stuff I don't agree with. Kind of the whole idea of, I'm not a racist, but you're voting for somebody who is.
Well, but hold on. But let me just jump in and say, I'm not only late for a break, I do want to bring in someone who has been supportive of the supervisor because I want to get that perspective. Let's get our only break of the hour in 30 seconds. We'll come right back here, continue, and we'll talk to someone who works for the town of Henrietta and does stand by the supervisor. So let's go ahead and take that break. We'll come back with our panel and keep the discussion going. Coming up in our second hour, the author of a new textbook on Native America, A History, joins us. Yes, it's a textbook for classrooms, but it reads in a very accessible and important way for all of us who want to understand history with a clear, direct, and honest viewpoint. A view of dispossession, occasional slaughter, and the way Native Americans were treated. We're going to talk to the author and discuss our own history next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. I will open up phone calls for the rest of the hour. If you want to call the program, in particular, if you're a resident of Henrietta and you'll be voting next month, but really if you're sort of following not only this case, but we're talking also more widely about EEOC, what these kind of allegations are, how they are processed, and what they do and do not mean. There is a list of pretty serious stuff that's been alleged against Henrietta Town Supervisor Jack Moore. He has denied those allegations. He won re-election 2 years ago handily, and he's running again next month. And we've been hearing from people who are, I think, certainly very concerned about what they have been hearing in these EEOC reports. Reverend Reuben Goff is a Henrietta Town resident and a retired pastor. Iman Abbott is also a Henrietta Town resident. Larry Knox is a political and community engagement organizer with SEIU. I want to bring in Chuck Marshall. And Chuck is a 24-year employee for the town of Henrietta, the commissioner of public works. Thanks for taking the time. How are you?
Good.
Well, let me just start with your brief reaction to what you saw from EEOC. I know you're aware of those complaints against the supervisor. Are you concerned that they have merit, or you think this is about something else, Chuck?
I'm not sure. I wasn't there during any alleged incident, so I can't verify one way or another. It's not been my exposure to Jack over the years that I've been there that he's handled things in that fashion. I know that some of the employees don't like the way that things are running at the town as far as the workplace and so on, but I got to tell you, they had a vote the other night, not so much with who they vote for supervisor, but who they support in the fact that they like where they work, they like the environment they work on, they're productive, they're given credit where credit's due, and Jack's done a lot to try to bolster that free thinking and to provide us with the means, the equipment, and people to get the job done.
Chuck, do you think the supervisor treats everyone the same regardless of background?
My belief, yes.
Okay, and so when you say, you know, some of the complaints that have been made, people might not like the way the town's being run, tell me more about that. Is it about work standards, or I want you to make sure we're clear on what you mean by that.
I think that the supervisor and any supervisor wants to make sure that, you know, their employees are working, and they check more than maybe most kind of has a background where, you know, you work for a day's pay, fair wage to a day's work, fair day's pay, and there's some of those times that you know, people may disagree with, you know, we got to get this done, or we got to do this, or we got to do that. They may not really be happy with what has to be done, but it's all part of the job.
I don't know if there's an undercurrent. I mean, are you saying that you think the complainants are lazy?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying is that I don't think the one EEOC filing, I believe, was started over of confrontation between the supervisor and another employee, and they had words, and it was something about his work ethic, and the employee took issue with that.
Okay, so you think that at least work ethic and expectations on the job are part of this, Chuck?
Oh, by sure. You know, I expect my people to work every day. He expects his people to work every day. And our crews, our foremen expect their crews to work every day, and they do.
Okay, so stay on the line, Chuck. Larry Knox is someone who, with SEIU, you're familiar working in labor with concern about, you know, do we have an axe to grind? Is this someone who is treating employees equally? Chuck is here saying the supervisor treats people the same, but he has high expectations of you.
Yeah, well, I guess if Chuck knows, how many of these employees have been written up for not meeting their work standards or for, you know, not showing up for work or not working the hours they're supposed to work? I mean, if he has, are these employees that are bad employees that have been written up and have gone through grievances for not doing their work?
I don't know which employer you're speaking of.
Any of the ones that have complained about Jack Moore. I mean, it's as a supervisor, if you have a bad employee, you want to get rid of them, and you write them up, and you show through paperwork and filings and action that this is a bad employee. So if these are bad employees, there should be plenty of paperwork and findings from, you know, Jack's, from the supervisor's office of attempts to show that these employees are not doing what they're supposed to be doing underneath their job titles.
So well, I don't supervise all those people, so I don't know. But the ones that I supervise, that if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, I do write them up. I do have conversations.
No, I understand, but the people that complain about Jack Moore, are these bad employees? Are these people that have a long records in the personnel files of not doing their job at Henrietta?
I don't think they're necessarily bad employees. I think they're employees that just don't like the fact that Jack's there.
Right, but as a union, and as Jack's saying these are not good employees, it would be, and this is kind of goes back to the concern of the union had not supporting his employees, if these were bad employees, if these were people that weren't doing the job that they are wanting to do and have been doing for many years in Henrietta, you know, this is one of the benefits of union membership. You have to be, the employer has to show that. They have to be written up. There has to be a personnel file saying you haven't done X, you haven't done Y, you didn't show up for this shift, you called in too much, you didn't meet these standards of the work that had to be done. And it's from my understanding that this has happened with none of these employees. They've been employees that have been in good standing their whole time in Henrietta. So this isn't something of somebody not meeting the standards of what the work requirements are that the supervisor is expecting, because they have been, you know, before Jack was there, you know, for many years. So that's when it kind of goes back to the axe to grind, and this other reason of all these people making up these horrific stories. Maybe it's not because they're bad employees. Maybe it's something else, because the bad employee thing is pretty easy.
Larry, did they serve under other Republicans?
Yeah. I mean, it's all been Republican supervisors in Henrietta for many years. So.
I think that's right. I don't think there has been a Democrat, that at least that I can remember.
Yeah, Jim Breese for a long time was like for 20-plus years. Okay. Mike Hewson.
So, Chuck, let me also ask you another question then, because let's assume that what you're saying, Chuck, is right, that there's a difference of opinion between the supervisor, Jack Moore, and these complainants who, you know, maybe let's even grant that maybe somebody does have a weak work ethic or whatever. But what the EEOC is saying is that they have investigated and they have witnessed testimony that, in their words, verifies the supervisor made the following comment when a woman had to move her desk. The supervisor said, quote, "This desk is heavier than 10 dead blank N-words, 10 dead blank," using the N-word. If the supervisor said that, forget work ethics and everything else, Chuck, should he still be the supervisor?
I don't think I can believe that he didn't say it. I don't think they have witnesses that said he did. And Jack, like any other person, must get things done and says things sometimes. I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't let, you know, on any kind of platform, believe that Jack was there.
Yeah, I'm with you. You can't believe, knowing Jack, you know, I know you feel like it's hard for you to believe that he did say that. But let's say there were a tape and he's on the audio, and there's not, by the way, not that I know of, but let's say there's audio and he actually said that this desk is heavier than 10 dead N-word. Would that be enough for you? Would you say, look, you can't be the supervisor of this town. That's too much. Or do you say you want to give him a pass because of the work he's been doing?
Well, I would certainly be on the approach that, you know, he's done a lot for the town, and, you know, I wouldn't necessarily condemn him for what he said.
Yeah. And that's a major problem, I believe.
Okay, so well, we have Reverend Goff here, an African-American pastor, retired pastor, and still a preacher.
Well,
what do you think? What Chuck is saying, he's got a record, he wouldn't condemn him necessarily, even if he said that.
Well, I think you got quite a few people there now listening to you in a statement that you made. There's quite a few people there that feel the same way you do, and that's wrong. That is wrong. Anytime you make a statement pertaining to individual, I don't care what color it is, that's wrong. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. This is not about politics. This is about people. This is a people issue.
So does that hurt you to hear the Commissioner of Public Works say, even if the supervisor said, this desk is heavier than 10 dead N-word?
I don't care who said it.
Does that hurt you?
That hurt. I don't care who said it. I don't care what color you is, what nationality you is. That is something that you shouldn't say.
But Iman Abbott, I saw you viscerally react when Chuck kind of defended it. But what Chuck is saying is, you know, he thinks Jack is doing a good job as supervisor and that he wouldn't necessarily want to dismiss him, even if he did say that. What do you think?
You know, it's incredibly sad to me that I just heard Chuck say he wouldn't condemn those statements. You work for the town, and I, as a lifelong resident, as someone who is both Muslim and has a family of other Muslims and who've lived there and felt so comfortable up until the moment that Jack Moore made these comments, I find it ridiculous that you would not come out and say I would condemn these. And it's ridiculous to me that these comments continue to get made and get legitimized by people like you and other people who work for the town. This is insane. It's incredibly ridiculous that these actions and these statements are getting thrown around as though they are nothing. This is what we're doing. I think this is what happened during the presidency, and this is what's happening now at the much local level, and we continue to legitimize these small statements, or rather not small statements, but just little things that are being said in these conversations, and we're just legitimized day by day by day. And it's ridiculous to me that you represent the town. I'm incredibly heated and angry by hearing this on hearing you say that on the phone, Chuck. I think it's ridiculous to me, and you know, I have the Reverend here, someone of color, and telling both of us that this is still legitimized, and you're saying to him that it's okay, he said this, you're doing a good job though, so keep on going. You're not even condemning his statements.
Go ahead, Chuck. I know you want to respond. Go ahead.
Well, again, some of these statements were made years ago. I'm just questioning whether everything there's a hubbub about them now, whether it wasn't 2 years ago or 3 years ago when they first came out, there wasn't this kind of outcry, and now there is.
Well, the complaint was made, I think, many years ago. It takes a while to go through. But this goes back to this is like the bigger picture thing. This isn't about policy. I would love to have a policy discussion about who should be supervisor of Henrietta because of, you know, the Jefferson Road corridor, and is there enough building, and should there be more green space, and, you know, housing and all that. But you can have a debate among parties without all this. I mean, is there nobody else that could represent the Republican Party in Henrietta about the issues that are important to Henrietta residents, and minus all this other stuff that Jack Moore is bringing with his, you know, personal issues that are beyond the norm of an elected official with taxpayer dollars. And the fact that we're even having a discussion of, is that the norm or not, you know, or is that okay or not, or maybe he's doing a good job. I mean, this is we're beyond, what is that line of what's acceptable or not? And the fact that there are many people who seem that it's an acceptable line that you can say these kind of things and still become a public, and still serve in a public office, say it in your business, say it at home. But when you become a public servant, you have a higher standard. You're supposed to have a higher standard, no matter the party. And the fact that there are people who are still putting up Jack Moore lawn signs after this because they, you know, don't feel that his statements are a factor that to disown him from ever holding office, not because of his policies, because of his personal beliefs, is really disturbing.
Chuck, he's likely, though, if history's a guide, 2 years ago, you know, he'll probably win next month. Do you expect him to win, Chuck?
Never know in politics.
Sure. Well, and Chuck, 2 years ago, you know, he dealt with that whole issue of the audio tape coming out when he talked about what he described as, quote, city cousins. And his quote was, "You don't know about cousins in the city? We get all kinds of them. They bust them out here, okay?" He talked about city cousins. Obviously, it's a racist remark, but he said that he was sorry and that he is not a racist in his heart, that he would take sensitivity training. Did you have a problem with those remarks 2 years ago? Chuck?
I'm sure it was all, you know, a surprise to everybody, and the fact that he owned up to it and took sensitivity training, I think it kind of closed the book on those.
Okay, go ahead, Reverend.
He closed the book on it, but he opened it up again. Now it's open again, so you...
Well, I think most of these charges or most of these allegations are 2 and 3 years old, so, I mean, we're talking about the same stuff over and over again.
That's a long time ago.
Well, the allegations are 2 or 3 years old. But they're coming up again. After 2 or 3 years, look like you had learned. He should have learned, said, I got myself in trouble with this once before, and I'm going to clean this mess up. He represents people. People, people, people. Remember that. People, you can hurt people by things you say and things you do, and there are people in the town of Henrietta that's hurting. because of the statements that he made 3 years ago and the statement he's making now.
Well, let me also bring in another call. Chuck, stay on the line with us. Chuck Marshall is the Commissioner of Public Works. He's on the line with us. Robert and Henrietta next on the phone, and he also stands with Jack Moore. Go ahead, Robert.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Connection. I don't even know where to begin. So I'll start at the beginning the best I can, and I just want to make it clear that I do not speak for the town of Henrietta. I do not speak for Jack Moore or any town council members, but I am heavily involved in Henrietta, and I can't believe the things that I'm hearing from this panel. The Reverend at the meeting, town board meeting on Wednesday, as well as the woman that spoke as well, and the television station that only seemed to be able to show the people that are concerned and didn't give any news coverage to people like myself, as well as
Robert, I don't care about TV stations. Go ahead. I don't care about TV stations. Go ahead. I want to hear what you think about these allegations from EEOC.
Okay. 1.5 of 275 employees, that's 1.38%. That's pretty low. One of those employees, let me finish.
Yeah, please.
It's been a problem long before Jack Moore, going way back to Jim Breeze, who was terminated and fired and has a pattern of other things that he's doing that I don't know if it's okay if I mention it. As far as listening to Bill Relic speak out against Jack Moore, I can't think of many Republicans that care much for Bill Relic at all, and I'm one of them. So I got to say that in my opinion, Jack Moore has done more for Henrietta in 3.5 years than any supervisor prior to Jack Moore, as well as accomplished more. He's had a business on East Henrietta Road. He has dealt with many different cultures and races, and I think it's all politically motivated. And I will go back to if this has happened in the 3.5 years, then why is it coming out now? Why wasn't it in the news prior to this?
Robert, let me also ask you what I asked Chuck Marshall, which is, let's just set aside your concern on the timing. If there were audio, if it was verifiably true that the supervisor did say when trying to move a woman's desk for the town, quote, this desk is heavier than 10 dead N-word, would that change your mind? Would you think that is a bridge too far? He should not be the supervisor.
There is no one on that panel, including you and everybody else, as well as the rest of Henrietta in the United States, that hasn't made an offhand comment that they don't mean, if he allegedly did say that.
I have never said anything about
that. I stand behind Jack Moore 100%.
Okay. Yeah. Robert, thank you for the phone call. Let me say this about what Robert just said. If you were to go through every statement I've ever made in my life going back to my teenage years, I would probably find something embarrassing. I don't dispute that. But that is not the same as saying this desk is heavier than 10 dead N-word and not. So Robert's not going to condemn that. We've got, okay, he's not going to condemn it. Yeah. It's difficult for me. I don't understand. I was not ready for that, I guess, this hour. But maybe I should be. So anyway.
You gave people some very low bars they could not get over.
Yeah, I mean, look, I invited Jack Moore, and I hope Jack will come on this program in the future, and I want to be fair, but we can at least condemn that, everyone, can't we? Even no matter what political team you're on or whatever. I mean, that should be pretty easy to condemn.
No, that's the thing. Some people still don't condemn those statements. Yeah. Those people in the town of Henrietta, those who are supporting him. If you're telling me you are not a racist, but you are supporting someone who made racist remarks consistently, and whether or not these allegations came up now doesn't necessarily mean that they were made now. In a lot of cases, and in my case of being a woman in many different workplaces, if a workplace is hostile to me, I don't feel comfortable speaking out, not in the moment sometimes, and sometimes I'm worried for my own job and my own position, as I can imagine that the multiple people who brought forward these complaints were also feared losing their jobs. To some of them, I've actually spoken to a couple of them. They were incredibly afraid of losing their own jobs. So if you're telling me he can make these remarks, and you're telling me, and Chuck answered, you know, he gave us the runaround with most of his answers, is that this is not about work ethic. This is about you being a public servant and actually standing up for the right people. And you made too many comments where they cannot no longer be legitimate.
It's about privilege. People being able to feel they have the privilege to be okay with that, and that's okay for the rest of society.
All right, well,
which is not.
We are out of time. Now you understand what's going on. And again, the invitation remains open to Supervisor Moore. We tried to also look at the wider issue of what EEOC is and does, and how it tries to adjudicate these kind of, or at least respond to these kind of complaints. Our appreciation, and I do appreciate Chuck Marshall coming in to the program, the Commissioner of Public Works for the town of Henrietta, weighing in on why he's going to continue supporting Jack Moore, even if he did say these things. But you'll have to decide yourselves, and we'll see. There's an election next month, so I certainly appreciate all the guests. Iman Abed, Larry Knox, Reverend Goff, thank you all for being here. More Connections is next.
Yeah.